And welcome back to another edition of Sideline Sessions with Wesley Sykes. I am, of course, Wesley Sykes, the managing editor of Coach and Athletic Director, Training and Conditioning, and Winning Hoops Brands for Great American Media Services. And you can listen to all of our previous episodes anywhere you can access podcasts, as well as any of our websites, coachad.com, training-conditioning.com, and winninghoops.com. And be sure to follow all of our brands on Twitter, at coach_AD, at traincondition, at Winning Hoops, and as always, myself, if you like, at Wesley Sykes _. And this week, I wanted to highlight our on-demand educational webinar series, which can be found on coachad.com/educational-webinars. Now, back in April, in conjunction, with Matrix Fitness, Coach and AD welcomed legendary strength coach Boyd Epley and a few members of his coaching tree to discuss the 10 principles of building game applicable power. Now, these 10 principles can serve as the 10 commandments, so to speak, for strength coaches at all levels, high school, college, professional, private lessons. So in this podcast, I'm going to play some snippets from this webinar that touch on a few of those power principles, specifically 2, 3, and 4. So first, we're going to hear from the legend himself, Boyd Epley, before Diane Banderas, who's the director of sports performance at Explosive Edge in Nebraska, to talk about three-dimensional movements. Then we have Greg Warner, who is Virginia Tech women basketball's head strength coach, who will be touching on ground-based activities. And last but certainly not least, we have Kevin Coleman, a former football strength coach at Kansas University, on explosive training. Now, I found this to be a fascinating discussion, and as you'll hear from some of the clips, the speakers do use visual aids in their presentations. So if you are intrigued by what some of these speakers have to say, again, feel free to visit our video on demand portal at coachad.com/educational-webinars. So without further ado, enjoy the episode.
Well, one of the biggest problems that I had as a strength coach when I went to Nebraska in the late 60s is a lot of their football athletes were doing distance running. And I knew that that wasn't what football players needed to be doing, but I had trouble convincing a couple of the football assistants that distance running is a mistake for football players. I knew it was wrong. I knew it was the wrong energy system. And it didn't match up to my plans for trying to put muscle on these players. And I kept hearing we wouldn't be in shape for the fourth quarter unless we were doing some distance running. Well, that's a bunch of baloney. According to Fox and Matthews, researchers at Ohio State years ago, sports like football, golf, volleyball, baseball, basketball, sprinters in track, none of these have an aerobic component. So if you in the audience today are training any of these sports, you would be wise to look into training in the correct energy system.
At the Explosive Edge in Omaha, we work mainly with youth athletes. So it's a pretty cool opportunity to be able to implement these principles with younger generations before they've really developed any bad habits or trained anywhere else. I get my hands on them early, run them through these principles, and build the foundation for future movement. So right now, as you can see, I just have the principle put up here. You can screenshot this or take a picture of it, but you can pretty much find it anywhere. So moving on to the next slide here. When we're thinking about three-dimensional movement, we have to keep in mind that sports demand athletes to organize movement in all three planes of motion. That being your sagittal plane, so think forward and backwards, your frontal plane, so lateral, and then your transverse plane, which would be rotational. Okay, you also have up and down, which would be a combination of your sagittal and your frontal plane moving through the transverse plane. So what this does is drives the need to produce coordinated joint actions in order to create kind of a synergistic movement. basically what I think of when an athlete walks into my weight room is, how well can this athlete organize their body in the space around them? Are they able to manipulate their movement, and are they able to do that well? Now, myself, working with mainly youth athletes, most of the kids walking through my door can't do this. So then that's where it's my job to teach them how to move in all three planes of motion and coordinate that movement. So as we move on, when you think three-dimensional movement, you should not think machines. What happens with machines is they limit that synergistic movement we're trying to accomplish, because the machine does all the work, right? Your body and your core is not able to stabilize itself because the machine is doing it for them. And then the athlete's unable to coordinate these movements when they get onto the court or the field. So using machines, other than one that I'll talk about here in a little bit, is probably a no-go when you're talking about training three-dimensional movement. So how I tie this into my postural restoration background, we have to think anatomically. The body is designed with a series of polyarticular muscle chains. These impact breathing, extremity function, and rotation. So what these chains are, you have kind of your head and neck, you have your thorax, and then you have your pelvis and lower extremities. These chains are meant to work together. So you have a right and a left side of each chain, and we want these to synergistically work together in a coordinated manner. Now, the center of these chains is your core, okay? And when I talk about core, and any of these panelists would back me up, I'm more so talking less about your abdominals and more about your diaphragm and your pelvis. So if your diaphragm and your pelvis are dysfunctional, you're not gonna be able to move through these three planes of motion effectively, and you're more than likely going to develop pain and injury down the road. Additionally, your core also bridges the gap between your upper and lower extremities, and it's where you transfer force. So athletes must, like they really, really need this development of the core in order to move through all three planes of motion effectively. So I think we can all agree that movement is dynamic. What we need to do as strength and conditioning coaches is decrease triplanar bias. Now, triplanar bias is just training solely in one plane of motion. So only focusing on the sagittal plane or only focusing on the frontal plane. What we need to do is eliminate that and make sure we're focusing on all three in order to create neutrality. So as we move forward, what is neutrality? It's basically the ability to disengage a set of muscles or one of those chains we talked about in order to transition into a new set. Now that's normally on the contralateral side of the body. So just think of gait, right? When my right arm goes, my left leg goes.
Virginia Tech, we really believe in pushing against the ground, ground-based activities. One of the big reasons is we look at the physics behind it and the physiology behind it is Newton's third law of motion. For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. So if we put more force into the ground, it will return more force back to us. That's a term, an activity that's termed ground reaction force. So we want to put more force into the ground. So that's why we're going to lift weights. That's why we're going to do the plyometrics and do the work that we do to develop our musculature, our neuromusculature, so that it's able to put more force into the ground so that we get more out of it. Here are the tools that are essential, and we borrow from different disciplines. We're not bodybuilders, we're not power lifters, we're not Olympic lifters when we're training athletes, or they're not, but we use a lot of these disciplines and things we've learned from powerlifting, bodybuilding, Olympic lifting, speed and agility, and plyometrics. All of these are involved in ground-based activities that translate into greater strength, power, and athletic achievement. So if we look at powerlifting, we're thinking of max effort, pushing heavy weights, lifting heavy weights. Bodybuilding, we think more of repetitive effort, more repetitions. Olympic lifting, we're more dynamic and explosive. And then speed and agility and plyometrics, those are both neural rate, utilizing that nervous system to activate those muscles that become stronger and more powerful from the training. So why do we do the max effort work and push against the ground? Basically, something that's called the size principle, okay? If you look at the bottom picture on the right there, the guy squatting the heavy weight, it takes some heavy lifting to get to those high threshold fast twitch motor units. So that's one of the max, that's one of the rationales or the rationale behind lifting heavier weights, is to get to those high threshold fast twitch motor units. If we look at the explosive slash dynamic effort rationale, why do we do the explosive movements? Well, there's something called the stretch shortening cycle, the elastic energy that's produced from utilizing that cycle, that stretch shortening cycle, is trainable and developable with the right training in lifting, plyometrics, explosive movements, dynamic effort movements. Okay, so a quick forceful eccentric stretch will be followed by a quick forceful concentric. So not only will our body return force from the ground, our body will return force from a stretch or a dynamic activity onto the muscle, the musculature. And what we're after are fast twitch motor units, fast twitch muscle fibers. Those are the ones that win games, win boxing matches, win anything in athletics. Those are the ones that hit home runs. Those are the ones that score touchdowns and dunk basketballs and knock people out. So that's what we're really after, is developing the fast twitch motor units, the fast twitch muscle fibers that are attached to those. So by doing the proper ground-based lifts, jumps, and sprints, you're going to increase sport-specific horsepower. You're going to increase your engine. Put a bigger engine in your car. A lot of times we don't need a bigger car. We just need a bigger engine. We need to be able to produce more force. That's why we do these lifts.
Now, someone might be looking at that middle picture and saying, well, that's not perfect. And you're absolutely right, because this guy right here, he's probably a baseball player. He may be a soccer player, a basketball player, a football player. He's not an Olympic weightlifter. And we always need to be concerned with that and how we train our athletes. You're always going to work on that technique and focus on the fundamentals, because there's nothing more important than their technique. I really want to point out the fact that it's not how much weight you lift, it's how you lift the weight that is key. So yes, his elbows are a little bit bent, a little early. I don't necessarily like that, but you know what? He's not an Olympic weightlifter, and we need to make sure that we understand that. But I do want to emphasize something else too. And that is, you know, we need to pay very close attention with who's pushing the weight up overhead. Some athletes train because their sport requires that they train at high levels of intensity. And when I say high levels, I'm talking about 90, 92, 95, 97, sometimes 100%, 1RMs. But the only athletes that I've trained that I can think of that I would train that way are hammer throwers, discus throwers, javelin throwers, you know, shot putters. These guys pretty much train like Olympic weightlifters anyway. Am I going to get to doing something like this overhead with a lot of 6'10", 7-foot basketball players? I think I might be able to find some other exercises to utilize. Not to say that I never would, because you can also lower the intensity as you perform some of these movements. But I think we always have to be very conscious of what it is we're trying to accomplish and who it is we're training at the time. Kids have the opportunity to improve their vertical jump, to improve their speed, to improve their acceleration, as Greg and Diane, I think, were talking about as well. I mean, we have some wonderful opportunities to utilize these lifts, but my big takeaway, as I said earlier, is quality over quantity. It's not how much weight you lift, but how you lift the weight. And our ultimate goal as strength and conditioning coaches should be to reduce the risk of injury and to improve the athletic performance of our athletes.
All right. I hope you enjoyed the latest edition of Sideline Sessions. You can once again follow our brands on Twitter at @coach_AD, at Train Condition, at Winning Hoops, and myself, if you like, as always, at Wesley Sykes _. And again, if you found any of that information useful and would like to seek a little bit more, hear from those speakers about the 10 principles of building power from Boyd Epley, you can visit our video on demand portal at coachad.com/educational-webinars for that and a whole bunch of other ones. We just recently did a webinar with Now Sports on the importance of nutrition and supplementation as well. So I think those two things kind of go hand in hand with strength and conditioning. So in the off season, I think this is a great way to kind of sharpen your skills and sharpen the tools in your toolbox, so to speak. So definitely a great way to start your summer vacation off and start your new school year off on the right note. So, but again, if you're not following any of those accounts that I mentioned previously, you'll be wanting to follow those accounts to get a first look at who our next guest will be for our 18th episode, which will be Fountain Fort Carson High School District Athletic Director Jared Felice. He's a very accomplished athletic director with more than 4 years at the helm of AD helm for Fountain Fort Carson, but more than 15 years experience in education and athletic experience as well. So until then, sports fans, I'm Wesley Sykes, and thank you once again for listening to Sideline Sessions.